Well, this is Dr. Stan back at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course are the views of our guest, and our guest this afternoon is Patrick Wood from the August Review. Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Nice to be with you again.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you. And Patrick is going to tell us a little bit about a meeting he was at recently in Washington, D.C., a meeting, you know, of that remnant of the conservative movement that's tried to do something about this move to destroy the sovereignty of the United States by bringing about a North American Union where we join together the structure of our government with that of the Mexicans and the Canadians, and raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. You pick up the story there, Patrick.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I wanted to just bring a little bit of good news to your listeners today. The battle line is apparently very quickly being drawn right now across the country. As word of this North American Union and Security and Prosperity Partnership are leaking out around the country, people are rising up, and there's quite a bit of outrage at it, quite a bit of incredulity. People are just scratching their head, wondering how on earth, you know, what are they doing in Washington, you know, to allow these kinds of things to go, not only allow them, but to actually push them and present them forward. But there was a recent meeting that I was invited to that was called by actually several people. One of them, kind of the lead person, was Howard Phillips of Conservative Caucus, who has been a long-time very conservative activist, if you will, and lobbyist in Washington. And Jerry Corsi, Dr. Jeremy Corsi, also joined him in calling for a meeting that would create a coalition to stop the Security and Prosperity Partnership. That's the exact title of the coalition, to stop SPP. And there were probably about 30 people at the meeting, all heads of organizations of one kind or another. We had quite a lively discussion, and several points were agreed upon, and all the people went off their respective ways after a few hours to invoke their own organizations to to raise a ruckus over this North American Union business.
Well, I certainly think that we have to raise a ruckus, and I think we have to use this as an opportunity to educate people. Those of us who have been talking about the danger to America, not being from the Islamic radicals, and not being from Osama bin Laden, and not being from Iran or from, what's going on in the Middle East today, but right here in Washington, D.C., where the real force is that's trying to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, is creating the best enemies money can buy throughout the world as a diversion, so we don't understand that they are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, and their ultimate goal is the destruction of Christian civilization as we know it. Well, go ahead, Patrick.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'd want to say that there's other organizations that are doing things as well that has kind of a bright light on the horizon. The organization that's headed by Phyllis Schlafly, Eagle Forum, is mobilized nationwide right now to put up a barrier, against the North American Union and SPP. They've had a meeting last November and trained all of their state coordinators over a five-day period, I might add.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Wood of the August Review. For those of you who don't know Patrick, he's been around for a good long while. It was in the late 1970s when he wrote a book with a good friend of mine, Professor Anthony Sutton, and of course it was going into the background of the Trilateral Commission, which is an organization that is dedicated to the destruction of national sovereignty here in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, Barry Goldwater, writing in 1979 in his book with no apologies, said the purpose of the Trilateral Commission is to take control of the financial and commercial, the multinational control of the financial interests by first seizing control of the government in the United States. In other words, to control the financial and commercial interests of the whole world, multinational, but by first seizing control of the government. The Trilateral Commission has done just that, and of course on the front lines of that battle was Patrick Wood. Well, Patrick's been working now for the last 27 or 28 years to try to educate people about this globalist movement, which is moving very, very rapidly towards the destruction of the sovereignty of America and establishing a police state here under the guise of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden. So pick up the story about the North American Union and about this meeting that you just attended. And we have some new listeners, so don't be afraid to repeat yourself.
Well, certainly, Dr. Stan. The good news is that the Security and Prosperity Partnership and the North American Union thing are becoming a lightning rod, I think, for people to really be moved to some constructive action finally. And you know how the battle has been over the years when we talk about the things that they want to do. You know, the typical response is, well, show me something they've actually done. You know, show me something that actually says they're trying to take over. And it's been difficult because it's just not that simple. It's a complex problem. And so now that the SPP is something that's very concrete.
By SPP, you mean the Security,
Security and Prosperity Partnership that's located underneath the Department of Commerce. The Security and Prosperity Partnership that's going on right now to bring our three countries together is a very tangible thing, and it's very easily documented. You can just go to the official government website and see. And people are finally catching the idea that, hey, there is something tangible to this. You know, there really is something, and I think this is going to be a lightning rod, Dr. Stan.
I do, too, and hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Patrick. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Patrick Wood, and we're talking about this effort, this nationwide effort, suddenly as people begin to awaken to the fact that America is changing, that Los Angeles and many of our cities are no longer American cities. The majority of the people there come from other countries, that we have a tremendous burden of almost a tenth, 10% of the budget here in the state of California goes to care for people who are living here illegally, that the Bush administration has a plan to let the people who've come in here illegally and worked here illegally get Social Security payments out of our already failing Social Security coffers. And, of course, suddenly now there's an awareness, and Patrick attended this meeting, I guess just last week, back in Washington, D.C., where the leaders of at least 30 of the major organizations in the United States got together and are undertaking a massive educational program. So pick the story up, Patrick.
Well, yes, and I want to say a little bit more than just an education program at this time. I've been, of course, both you and I have been involved in quote-unquote education for a long time, but there comes a time when action is needed. You know, you can only educate so much to say, okay, now put on your working shoes, you know, and get out there and actually do something with it. What these people are doing is they're attempting to involve legislators. They're attempting to involve legislation, to sponsor legislation. They're intending to lobby other people in government who matter at this point. That is one-on-one meetings, going to them, explaining to them what's going on, giving them an action plan, things they can do to break up this cartel. These are action-oriented items, Dr. Stan. More than just education at this point. People really need to take action. Those who can take action need to take action. This was the encouraging thing that I saw from this meeting and others that I've attended as well. Eagle Forum is 100% behind the movement, the coalition to stop SPP, for instance. They have state directors, they have state organizations all around the country. They know where the legislators are locally. They know where their state senators and congressmen and so on are. And they're intending to put on a full-court press. That's just one organization. There's other organizations. There's one in the Midwest called the Organization for Competitive Markets. It's a farming, agricultural organization, but it's of good size and of good repute. They are 100% behind this coalition and behind, stopping this whole business of the North American Union. American Labor is getting behind this as well, Dr. Stan. This is something that's kind of exciting to see. The labor unions at the grassroots levels are really starting to wake up to the fact that NAFTA is going to kill them if they don't do something to stop it. And so they have a real interest in canning the North American Union. So we see people coming from all persuasions, from all walks of life, professions, and so on, dropping the partisan nonsense, Republican versus Democrat or conservative versus liberal, and they're realizing that this is an issue of American survival. It's not an issue of political party. It's greater than that.
And, of course, the trouble is we have so many Republican legislators who are pushing this whole idea of globalism, and, of course, the American Union is just one more segment of globalism. How do we get the American people to be willing to give up their sovereignty and surrender their liberty? But in the name, of course, of materialism and financial advance, and if we just did these things, why, we'd be so much more prosperous. Isn't free trade wonderful? Look at how cheap things are at Walmart. But the trouble is we're having more and more people who are having more and more difficulty having the money to buy the things at Walmart as they move progressively to actually impoverish the American people and destroy the middle class. And so, we need the unions. We need them to represent the workers against many of their employers are dedicated globalists who are doing everything they can to destroy America. And if the unions won't stand up for this, they will cease to exist.
They certainly will. And a lot of them are starting to get the picture that the gun, the barrel of the gun is actually pointed at them. And this is a good thing. I expect that there's going to be some major political activity on March 1st down in Austin, Texas, where there's a meeting going to take place regarding the Trans-Texas Corridor. Of course,
please explain to our listeners about the Trans-Texas Corridor is, in case they don't understand.
You bet.
This massive program that information about has been carefully suppressed all across America. Because the last thing they want the American people to understand is what the future really holds.
Exactly so. The Trans-Texas Corridor is the first link of a transnational freeway system that will carry goods via train and truck from Mexico, that is deep in Mexico, where deep water ports exist in Manzanillo and south from there, all the way to Canada. And the major stopping off point is going to be Kansas City. But they're planning, this NAFTA consortium, if you will, are planning on building a 1,200-foot wide swath of a combination of freeways, transmission towers, pipelines, and rail tracks that will be dedicated to NAFTA traffic carrying goods from Mexican ports all the way up to Kansas City and then beyond from there to be spread around the country. And the Trans-Texas Corridor is the first link in that. That's where the battle line currently is, because if they can't get Texas done, they won't get anybody else done either. Texas could possibly stop them at this point. We don't know. But the Trans-Texas Corridor is going to rip up approximately maybe 600,000 to a million acres of prime ranch and farm ground through the length of Texas. And it's going to they're using eminent domain to grab this land. They're turning it over to foreign companies to build toll roads that will be charged, where people will be charged a toll to drive on these roads. The profit that's resulting from these tolls will be taken overseas by the companies that are buying the franchises. And basically, the Texans right now, the ranchers and farmers and stuff, are just about ready to pick up arms. They're absolutely blown out of the water on this whole thing. They're just freaked out.
And of course, this whole thing ties into Spain and the Spanish monarchy, which is, of course, part of this whole internationalist globalist movement. And so, basically, we just got some information yesterday that an Australian company has moved into Texas and bought up, I think, something like 80 small newspapers. Now, how do you get information out? Well, small newspapers get information out, and there was this chain of small newspapers there. They were telling people about this plan for globalism and the Trans-Texas Corridor. And this Australian company that ties into the Spanish company has bought up all those 80 newspapers so that the people will not know what's going on.
Well, that's exactly right. It's a little bit more insidious than that, because the major newspapers, the Houston Chronicle and the Dallas newspaper, are both already on the side of globalism and stuff. In other words, they're editorially bought off. But where the farmers live and the ranchers live, where, you know, the ones that are putting up the protests, the ones that are upset, this is where these small newspapers exist, is in the outlying communities up and down the corridor in Texas. And their primary, and usually there's only like one newspaper in an area. And so when we say that they bought up these 40 to 50 small rural newspapers, this is essentially the only newspaper that these rural people have that they get their information from. And these newspapers have been writing very pointedly about the Trans-Texas Corridor. And, this is just typical globalist, maneuvering to shut the opposition up. And so buying up these newspapers will essentially silence about the only voice that many of these rural farmers have.
Yeah, because they bought up our major networks a long time ago, so you're not going to get anything really of any significance off of ABC or CBS or MSNBC. You get a little truth out of CNN and Glue Dobbs, but that's about it. And really, it's not the voices; it's the number of voices. And if everybody's saying there's nothing to worry about, and anybody who thinks there's something to worry about obviously believes in black helicopters and believes in conspiracy theories. Why, of course, then people are discredited immediately when they try to warn there is an organized effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and the freedom of our people.
That's right. Well, they're not laughing so hard anymore about those who are, talking about this like you and I. There, a lot of people are starting to see it now, Dr. Stan. This is a good thing.
And really, I think that there is this very real movement there in Texas. And, of course, the governor, the Republican establishment, I don't know about the Democratic establishment, but the Republican establishment is going right along with it, isn't it? And certainly the governor there of Texas is supporting it.
Yes. Another encouraging thing about all this too, Dr. Stan, is that every entity that's involved in this resistance movement right now, they're all saying that we need to work with the other side as well as conservatives, if you will. And I even listened with my own ears as Howard Phillips, the pillar of conservatism in the United States for sure, looked at the crowd and he says, "Gentlemen, we must be willing to embrace those who do not hold our conservative values, whatever. We lay all that stuff down. We must work with other people who have different persuasions because we're all Americans and we're all going to be affected." And he was the first one to say, we need to contact labor and we need to do it fast. We need to start working with them. And it's exciting to see that kind of urgency, that this is not a political issue. We just got to hammer that into people's heads. This is not a political issue. This is an issue of American survival. It's not a political ideology.
It's a question of
our survival as a country at this point.
And I think that the thing that people have to understand is that there really are people who don't want America to survive because they have a different worldview.
Exactly.
And their loyalty is not to the United States or to our Constitution, even though many of them have sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. Their loyalty is this internationalist vision, a new world order, a new world religion, a new world currency. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead there, Patrick. Well, I think that's exciting, and certainly I know, listening to many of our radio programs, we have a lot of left-wingers who listen to our programs. They don't agree with everything I say, but they know we're always honest, we're always straightforward, and if the conservative position is wrong, we're the first to criticize it.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what the future brings here. It's one of the one little exciting thing happened this month as well. Congressman Virgil Goode from West Virginia sponsored a resolution that was actually H.R. 22, Resolution 22. And it was co-sponsored by another another legislator, and I'll read you a couple of lines here. That basically what it calls for is to for the president to provide written notice of withdrawal from the, of the United States from the North American Free Trade Agreement, that is NAFTA, in accordance with Article 2205 of NAFTA itself, which provides for orderly withdrawal of a country, of a member country, to that agreement. And this resolution was entered into the House on January 10th, that was my birthday, as a matter of fact, 2007. And we're seeing more stuff like this as well, where people are standing up. You know, the early people, the early congressional people who were standing up were like Ron Paul, for instance, from Texas, Tom Tancredo from Colorado, and those two were just basically lone voices for a long time. You know, everybody just thought, well, they're really way out there, whatever they're talking about. They, you know, I don't know why they're stomping their foot, but they're way out there. And now we're starting to see other legislators come into this and saying, wait a minute. You know, what's going on here is that, you know, Congress is being stripped of its power. And, you know, we're being treated as if we're irrelevant. And a lot of them are waking up to this and saying, wait, this isn't right. This is not right. And so this is kind of an exciting thing too, is to see additional additional legislators get into the mix of things here. And of course, this is what we need. If there's going to be any political activity, we need to have that kind of those kinds of issues raised. I can almost guarantee, from what I've heard so far, that the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the North American Union, and NAFTA, and NAFTA Plus, and all the other things go around it. These things will be made an issue in the upcoming election, and you'll see a lot, and that is a presidential election. You're going to see a lot more stuff come out about this, I do believe, and it's going to be interesting how it plays out and see what kind of, you know, what kind of, how they might marginalize us at this point, but there's a lot of people that are going to be making this an issue, including the Coalition to Stop SBB, you know, which has people like Howard Phillips and so on involved in it, and Phyllis Schlafly and so on. These people are not naive, and they're not without resources. And, you know, at least it's going to be made an issue, and more people are going to find out about it, and more legislators are going to find out about it. And where the chips fall, we don't know yet, but basically this is a good thing.
And I certainly sort of excited. You know, we need to have something that people can understand is a threat to them. You know, the war, you know, over in the Middle East is only a threat to people who have their sons or fathers or brothers dying there. But this is an issue that affects everybody. And I hate to say it, but sometimes we feel a lot more strongly about an issue that affects us than one that affects our neighbor. We are all in this together. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and my guest is Patrick Wood of the August Review. And Patrick is talking about this move towards globalism. Now, people have heard us talking about this for a long time. They do not understand this from an economic point of view, because of course globalism means that the redistribution of the wealth of the American people, intentionally and purposely. And then, of course, there is certainly a political implication, because it will result in the end of the constitutional guarantees of freedom. We will have to have the same freedom here that they have in Mexico, or the same freedom that they have in Canada. After all, if we're going to unite the countries, we can't have one set of values for people in the United States and a different set of values and laws for the people in Canada and Mexico, and they're actually working through our Commerce Department to rewrite all of our laws without any authorization from Congress. So I think the most important thing, Patrick, is that every one of our listeners goes to spp.gov and get the information on this. I get the four tape sets that we have, and I'm sure you have some excellent information on this globalization. How can people get into your website, get your information, and what will they find there?
Well, if they go to AugustReview.com, they'll find as much as we have published on the subject of globalization, as well as the North American Union for those of us who live in the United States, Mexico, or Canada. Of course, globalism is a global issue. It's not just limited to America, but we're getting a taste of the medicine that other countries have had for at least a couple of decades now. Those things that have caused them to hate Americans by and large, the same things are being worked on us through this North American Union and the Security and Prosperity Partnership. So we take a top-down approach from, you know, the globalist view on what's going on around the world and then how that affects us here in America. And it's pretty easy to understand the big picture, actually, Dr. Stan, because regionalism, for instance, the European Union versus the North American Union, regionalism is the next logical step towards globalism, and that is total globalization. And so the regional block that's being set up now here in North America is going to be comparable and kind of offsetting, if you will, to the European Union that's already been formed in Europe. And there are similar movements going on in the Mideast. There's another movement going on in Asia, where those areas will be united into a block similar to the European Union and the North American Union as well. At some point, all of these will be drawn closer into a global governance situation.
And, of course, they're doing this in Africa. They're doing this in South America. I mean, this is a coordinated plan. This isn't happening by accident. There are people of great wealth and great power. And, of course, if you are a government leader and you want to maintain the sovereignty of your nation, why, you'll be replaced, you'll be bribed, or you'll be eliminated. And that's just just the way the world works today. In fact, we recently, just this last year, used American power and military might to bring a communist government to power in Nepal. Why would you do something like that? Because every communist supports this idea of world government. This is the function of communism. They want a one-world socialist movement. And what is socialism other than a feudalistic system by which you have a few people ruling the masses? Has nothing to do with redistribution of the wealth of the wealthy. I've read the communist magazines and papers for 40 years, and I've never once seen them condemn the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission. I wonder why. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely.
But people have to understand, is the people of great wealth have funded communism and socialism since its inception?
Yes, they have, and we see that it's been desired for a long time that these transnational corporations would rather do business with dictatorial, you know, tyrannical type, countries, governments within countries, rather than democracies. Even though there's a lot of, wordplay on the democracy, it's easier to make a deal with a dictator than it is with a Congress. It's just that simple. You only have one person to deal with, one person to buy off, one person to compromise or whatever. But it's easier to deal with the dictatorship than it is with the democracy.
And if you study the economic miracle that's taken place in China, you'll find it was all financed.
It was all financed, and the technology as well came straight from America.
But, of course, the American people are never told that.
That's right.
We're told, gee, isn't it wonderful what they're doing over there? But, of course, this is all funded by the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, Asian Development Bank, Agency for International Development, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Intel. All of these organizations associated with the Trilateral Commission of the CFR are building up the best any money can buy.
Exactly.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and you know, one of the problems we have, Patrick, is most people say, but it could never happen here. Why, this is America. We have freedom guaranteed to us here. What do you say to people like that?
Not anymore. You know, it's very clear and it's very obvious. We don't need to apologize or try and explain much anymore. It's not just the handwriting that's on the wall anymore. It's now the shoe is falling, if you will. You know, one can go and look at places like spp.gov, and they can see that the government is selling us down the river. They may not understand the big picture. They may not get the whole business with the Trilateral Commission and, you know, globalist over 50 years or anything. They don't have to. But they certainly can see that their own personal freedom is about ready to be snuffed. And I think everybody, you know, honestly, Dr. Stan, I think everybody in this country knows intuitively that something is really screwy. You know, corporations are getting richer and richer. Exxon just came out with the highest amount of profit that any company ever had in the world, in the history of the world. And, you know, corporations are getting filthy, stinking rich. And yet the average working stiff in America and other places around the world, their standards of living are falling like a rock. People are starting to realize, you know, something is wrong with this. How come I keep seeing day after day that these companies are making record profits, and yet I can't save $10 or even pay off the interest on my credit card debt? You know, they're starting to get the picture that something's really wrong here.
And they really don't understand that this is a planned return to a form of feudalism.
Yes. We're headed towards, if something doesn't happen between now and then, we're headed towards a system of global feudalism where there will be serfs and overlords. And the overlords, in whatever shape they will take, whether they be, you know, governing committees or, you know, the multinational companies, you know, dominating one area or another, they will be calling the shots. They will be in charge and in control of all the assets in the world, and the sharecroppers, if you will, that would be you and me. We will be allowed to live on some little plot and eke out a living, but everything extra we get will have to be given to them.
Yeah, and of course they would use the power of government to, you know, to enslave us. And
yes.
What's really happening is they're destroying the value of our currency. As that happens, the savings that people have accumulated through the years, their annuities, their bank deposits, their CDs, all the things they think are going to give them security are going
to
be gone like yesterday's sunset. We'll be back in just a moment here with Patrick Wood. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood from the August Review. And once again, Patrick, I'd like you to tell people how they can get in touch with your organization, get your material, and if they'd like to, even help your organization, because I think that Patrick's organization, August Review, is certainly one of the better organizations that we have out there.
Well, absolutely, Dr. Stan. It's www.augustreview.com. It's August, like the month, and then the word review. And all of our publications are without charge at this point. And we publish the August Review under the auspices of World Research Library, of which I am the executive director. And World Research Library is a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. Any contributions are you know, tax deductible on your part for whatever use that is to you. I don't know anymore, but that's the way we do it. And we'd be just delighted to have people come and take our information and spread it around and you know, spread it far and wide. That's what we want. That's what we're here for.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or air in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question, a comment, I mean, Patrick's just back from Washington, D.C., where a group of conservative leaders were meeting, trying to come up with a plan. And was there a specific plan, or was it simply a matter of taking the information back and trying to get in touch with your supporters and letting them realize really, really how dangerous the situation is? America is under attack today, not from overseas, not from Osama bin Laden. but from the people in our government whose loyalty is to this internationalist dream, this
exactly.
globalist dream.
This was not just kind of a, oh yeah, go do whatever you think you might be able to do. The meeting of the you know, the Coalition to Stop SPP actually came away with 24 specific action items that were assigned to the people in the group. That is different items to different people. But nevertheless, there were 24 specific concrete things, and I don't probably have the liberty to tell you what those 24 things were, you know, word for word. But we've been talking about some of those as we've gone along here, like, for instance, working with congressmen and senators, you know, to you know, get them moving legislation and so on to put the kibosh on the Security and Prosperity Partnership, et cetera.
And I think this is the most important thing, is to get to our state legislators and let them understand what this is about. This is going to do away with their jobs. It's going to do with the sovereignty of our states. To get
exactly.
to the congressmen and the senators and let them understand that they will be totally irrelevant because we will have a supranational organization, a supranational bureaucracy, and they will simply carry out the directions from above. And, of course, they've sworn to uphold the Constitution. It is their responsibility. They should be on the front lines warning the people rather than the people warning them. So do you have any sort of a letter-writing campaign? Is there any place that people can go, you know, and get the emails ready access? All they have to do is just punch a button and put their name on it, and a letter or an email will be sent to their elected representatives. Is there anything of that sort available?
Well, you know, there are several sites that actually do that now, Dr. Stan. I can't call to mind the actual website addresses, but... there are some sites that do that. I think maybe judicialwatch.org has a link to a site like that. That's exactly what people can do. They can print such letters off and sign them and fill in the blanks or whatever and send them off or fax them off to their local legislators. It's important not just to go after your national congressmen and senators. State congressmen and senators are just as important, maybe even more important in the end of it. And you also need to be sensitive to educate your local people, like that is your mayors and your county sheriffs and your board of supervisors and the like. These people need to know this because, of course, they're future leaders as well. Any one of those people could be in next year's election to get launched into your state senate or state house. And so you don't just go after national legislators. Start at the grassroots and work your way up.
And because what we have to do is target the people like the governor of Texas, who is a traitor to our nation for many reasons, but for
yes.
the biggest reasons, he's in the pocket of the globalists, and he's pushing this whole idea of taking land for eminent domain and turning it over to private corporations. These are not government roads. These are privately built roads. Privately owned roads. They're not even owned by Americans. They're owned by globalists from Spain, tied into the Spanish royal family. And talk about a return to feudalism. Now we have the Spanish royal family controlling the major arterial that will divide America into East and West.
Exactly. I've got an interesting piece of trivia, Dr. Stan. We've talked about how the Trilateral Commission has brought this whole movement forward starting in 1973. And now we have the end result of that with Dr. Robert A. Pastor being the father of the North American Union at this point. We have the Security and Prosperity Partnership that is located in the Department of Commerce that's actually pulling this together. That's the government body pulling this together. I was reminded by some of my notes, Dr. Stan, that before Rockefeller and Brzezinski founded the Trilateral Commission in 1973, the original name that was proposed was not the Trilateral Commission. The original name that was kicked around in the meetings that took place in Europe prior to the founding of the commission, the original name that David Rockefeller was passing around and floating, if you will, was the International Commission of Peace and Prosperity. The International Commission for Peace and Prosperity. Isn't it interesting that Robert Pastor brought up and thought up the name Security and Prosperity Partnership Isn't that interesting?
No, I don't think it's interesting at all. I think these people all work together. I think they have an agenda.
Absolutely. There's the wording of this. Of course, peace doesn't mean security, but security and peace are very, very much connected. So now we have the Security and Prosperity Partnership, whereas in the beginning of this, the mainline thought in David Rockefeller's mind pre-1973 was to form an international commission of peace and prosperity, and that's how they were going to sell it, try to sell it to the people, ultimately.
And of course, the Rockefellers have been funding communism and socialism and totalitarianism all throughout the world. Those of you who have not yet got a copy of David Rockefeller's memoirs, we do carry that here at Radio Liberty. And David Rockefeller, writing in page 405 of his memoirs, said this: some, referring, of course, to common people like you and me, some even believe that we wield power over the American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. In other words, he is an internationalist, and of course you cannot be an internationalist and an American. You have a right in our free society to advocate whatever you want. But when you have your people assigned to government positions and you put people into the executive branches of government and you put people into the legislative branches of government and you give them large sums of money to buy their support, and then they are working against the Constitution that they have sworn to uphold, and the Constitution is still the law of our land, when you do that, you are a traitor and should be tried for treason. And that's exactly what they're doing today, as they coordinate this move to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, merging us first with our northern and southern neighbors, and then the western hemisphere, and then all of the various trade blocks throughout the world which are being set up in the name of free trade. Oh, we're going to make things so much better with free trade. All you have to do is give up your sovereignty. And yet the only thing that makes us a sovereign, a integral nation, an independent nation, a free nation, is our Constitution. And that will have to be surrendered as we move towards the New World Order and, with that, the New World Religion. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Patrick Wood, who, of course, is on the front lines, and Sydney has his own organization trying to get the information out, and I will tell you, if you go to his website and get some of the information there on the Trilateral Commission, he's done some excellent treatises there. They will literally blow your mind as you begin to understand the power of this small group of people. And, of course, their logo, if you look very closely, it's three circular arrows that you can almost imagine they're 366s joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. Six. Six, six. They understand the significance. They laugh at us because we're so foolish. We think that this is just happening by accident, or everything's going to be all right. The trouble is, it's not going to be all right. And if you don't get involved now, when? And if it's not you, who will it be? Well, we've got Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
God bless you, Dr. Stan. I can't tell you, I'm so grateful that you're bringing this thing more to the air. You know, I've been trying to find out who owns that transnational highway that's so far that's being built as we speak in secret. We're not being allowed to tell who owns the property, who's behind those rights of way. You do know that the Pennsylvania Turnpike has already been sold to Spain.
Right. So that's my understanding. Is that right?
That's correct.
Basically, this is a Spanish consortium that is actually building this what are we talking about, a couple hundred billion dollars to do
this? Well, that's exactly right. By the time it's all done, it's going to be several hundred billion dollars of investment.
But the scariest thing I find is that they have a rail system in the middle of this new 10-lane freeway that has double rails, and I understand they've already built several thousand cars that are stainless steel and they're completely equipped with leg irons and manacles. Now, what is that? If that doesn't scare, if you don't see the Hitler cross in that, you're asleep, my friend.
But Ben, we don't know that is true. I mean, we hear all these stories. We have to stick with the things we know about. We know that the plans are there to build the building. I've heard these stories, but nobody's ever been able to show them to me.
Who owns this Union Highway? Who owns that?
This is going to be built by a Spanish consortium that ties into the King of Spain.
You
correct me if I'm wrong there, Patrick.
No, the right-of-ways are being leased for, they initially have a 50-year lease and then an option for like an additional term after that to lease the land in order to put the freeways, the rail system, the pipelines, underground pipelines, the above-ground power transmission lines, and they also have the options for 100% of the concessions that are going to be built along this highway. In other words, they have first right of refusal on anything that they want to build. You know, that's the hotels, the gas stations, the travel centers and things like that. They will be sucking that profit out of America as well.
Now, is it true that the security and the control of the traffic and personnel on this highway has already been contracted to Red China? I pray that I'm wrong.
No, that also is not completely substantiated at this point at all.
Okay.
However, having said that, I'll give you an example of where China is involved. One of the companies that is instrumental in providing the tracking chips that live inside of these containers and stuff, the shipping containers that come from China and elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's radio, radio frequency identification tags, right?
Exactly.
These tags, one of the largest companies that's involved in this and has the majority of the contract is a company that's owned by Lockheed.
Yeah.
And the subsidiary that it's installing these things in all these train cars and truck cars,
yeah,
is 49%, even though Lockheed owns 51%.
Yep.
This particular company is 49% owned by Hutchison Whampoa, which is a Chinese company.
Yes.
And that has direct ties to the Chinese military.
And my final warning is be careful, people, because the concentration camps are already built. And those are for those who will dissent to this destruction of the country that we love. You know what, gentlemen? As far as I know, it's still our country. It's ours to lose. And if I have to die for my country, my dad's, my uncles and grandpas did, hey, I'll get in line. I'll die for this country. This country's worth living and dying for.
Well, I think, first of all, we want to live for the country. We don't want the other guy to die for the country.
Like Patton said, make the other guy die for his country.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
And God bless you for really caring.
God bless you, too.
I wish everybody cared as much as Ben does. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. People find it so difficult to believe. Well, I hope every one of our listeners will go up to spp.gov now. They put up a site there. So, there's nothing to worry about here. Well, of course they're going to say that. They don't want you to know the truth. But I suggest you go to the websites. WorldNetDaily.com, that's WorldNetDaily.com, and pull down the articles there written by Jerome Corsi. Go to TheHumanEvents.com and pull down Dr. Corsi's excellent websites. We carry Dr. Corsi's excellent book entitled Minutemen. We have, of course, another book called Fighting Immigration Anarchy. We have a 4-tape set on globalism, another one on immigration. We are not guarding our borders because our leaders do not believe in America as a sovereign nation. It's just that simple. And the reason we have not 10 or 11 million illegal aliens in America, but somewhere between 20 and 30, is simply because, they're lying to us, but they always lie to us. And they are fighting a battle in the Middle East as a great diversion, so we will not realize that we're losing our freedom here at home. Well, let's go to Eric, who's calling from Compton. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Doc. How are you doing?
Doing just great.
Just a real quick, simple question. I remember, I'll be 55 in a month, but I still remember, as a kid, China used to be referred to as the Red communist Chinese. When did we start to turn? When did China become our friend? What president started that?
All right, it was delighted to comment on that, Patrick.
Well, this is pretty easy. Under President Nixon, the first person that went to China to normalize relationships with China
was Henry
Kissinger.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
Pardon?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, was Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger, because he's an agent of the Rockefellers, as is Zbigniew Brzezinski.
That's exactly right. Kissinger was, I want to think he was Secretary of State at the time under Nixon.
He was.
But he was the first person that was dispatched to China, actually under his own authority and initiative, I might add. But he was the first one that went over there and opened up China for trade. And, of course, from there it was downhill. But he was the watershed, and everything else was kind of downhill since then.
Amen to that. Hey, thanks very much. We're going to have to let you go, Eric.
All right, Doctor.
Bye-bye. God bless. Well, I guess, of course, Patrick Wood, and we've got Gary calling from Missouri. Gary, are you there?
Yes.
We've got an awful hum on this. Do you have a quick question, and I'll have to let you go?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you've ever heard of freespeechtv.org.
What is it?
It's on Dish Network, also on DirecTV.
What is the address?
It's
freespeechtv.org. Okay, I'll ask Patrick. We're going to have to let you go. Have you ever heard of a www.freespeechtv.org?
No, I haven't, but I will look at it tonight.
All right, we'll look that up tonight, and let's go to Bob quickly. Bob calling from St. Louis. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Fine, Doctor. Listen, I keep on hearing the same names all the time in reference to this stuff. And, we had Nazi hunters and stuff around in our country that went on, that's still going on. Why don't we have people going out to grab these people like the Rockefellers and stuff? They've done treason against our country and try them for treason and execute them.
Well,
there's no ifs and if that's not done, it's like in the Bible, Doctor, you read the Bible. If the blood that was shed by a murder, if his blood is not shed, there's a curse on the land.
Bob, what we need to do, first of all, is to educate the American people. Vigilantism will accomplish nothing, but education, once the people understand, maybe then we'll have some legislators who would call for justice and, of course, exposing those people who are responsible for literally millions of unnecessary deaths.
Doctor, it has to be done. Otherwise, God will not bless us. Could they have to be tried and executed for their crimes against humanity? We hear that all the time, and unless it's done, this
all
country's
right.
done for.
Let's get our guest view of that. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm not sure if we're ready for that kind of radical action yet.
I don't think so. I think we need to educate the American people first.
But
we're out of time.
On the other hand, I do want to say that a lot of these people are perpetrators in the same sense that the leaders of Enron and Global Crossing were perpetrators. They were white-collar crooks. They were sentenced to prison because they deserved to be there. And, I think there's a lot of other globalist companies that the people at the top are doing things that are patently illegal, and that they do need to be brought to held accountable for their actions. And I am sure many of them would be would end up in jail, just like Kenneth Lay and Jeff Skilling were sent off.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, but I do also think that behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. And I don't think that God is going to save America till American people return to God. Thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and during the break somebody called in and wanted, of course, to go out and, of course, round up all these wicked people who are pushing this whole idea of world government and globalism and have them executed. Well, my point is we cannot resort to that sort of affair. We are involved in a spiritual battle, and these people are being energized by spiritual forces, and God is not going to intervene and protect this country or save this country unless there's a revival here, unless our people return to Him. And certainly if God is just, he's going to bring judgment on this nation, and we deserve it. Our plea is, of course, get informed, get involved, understand it's a spiritual battle, and pray for America. Pray for revival, because I'm firmly convinced if we do not have a revival in America, why, we're going to lose this country. And I'm looking out there for the people who are going to lead that revival. I don't see much evidence of it, but I do what I do because I believe that there are an awful lot of good people out here still, and I believe America's worth saving. But if we're not involved, we become part of the problem. And men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Read the certainly our syllabuses on the millennium, and get our DVD, pardon me, get our video and our four-tape set on the millennium program. Get our information, certainly, on sustainable development. It's all part of the same ball of wax. Get our four-tape sets on globalism. Get our four-tape sets on the Military Commission Act and the plan for dictatorship here. Get our four-tape sets on concentration camps and our concentration camp special. Could these things really be true? And if they are, why aren't the media telling us about it? Why, very simply, because we have some of the finest communicators that money could buy. I don't get paid anything for what I do. I and my wife and a few friends put on Radio Liberty, and we're on over 60 stations or outlets every single week, and we're educating people about what's really going on and giving a voice to excellent guests like Patrick Wood, who will be on with us again, incidentally, on our evening program, and we're going to have Dr. Jerome Corsi with us again this evening, hammering away at this same issue. Your job is to tell others. Your job is to write to your congressmen and your state legislators. Your job is to stand on the corners and scream, don't you know what's going on? Certainly, I think my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is an excellent expose of the truly satanic forces which exist in America today, intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. And so our plea to you is, become informed. Go to RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, and pull down our newsletters. Let me suggest you read the newsletters, August, September, October, November, and December 2006. They will tell you what really happened on the morning of 9/11. And the only way you can understand why 3,000 people died that morning is to understand there's organized evil. And believe me, if you see Building 7 come down, you realize that was controlled demolition. But don't take my word for it. Go on to Google and the Internet and type in Building 7 videos and watch the building come down a few times. I think you'll agree with me. Certainly you can get the 5 DVDs we offer as a special reduced price. 5 DVDs on what happened on 9/11, our new tape set. Why did the buildings come down? Our new tape set, what happened on 9/11? And then, of course, my four tapes, pardon me, our three pamphlets set, $4, 911, there's so much material. You need to get it. You need to understand the only explanation for what's going on today is that there truly is organized evil in the world today, and there are people who have no human compassion or concern for human suffering. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.